Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I am Pat Boyle, coming to you from Dallas, the site of the 2018 NHL Draft, joined by NBCSportsChicago.com's Charlie Romeliotis. What's up? How you doing?
It was an uneventful first round, huh?
Well, no trades that were made, but, you know, here's the thing. You never really know about these drafts until a couple years down the road, especially when you're drafting 17- and 18-year-olds like the Blackhawks did with their two picks in the first round. They held and stayed at 8, and they stayed at 27. They selected Adam Boqvist, the 5'11", 168-pound puck-moving defenseman from Sweden. A lot of comps to Erik Karlsson. Sure, we'd all love to see the second coming of Erik Karlsson, but quick puck moving defenseman, a ton of skill, but he's not going to be ready for, you know, at least a couple of years. Next year he'll go play for a team in Sweden. I mean, I guess we've seen guys like Ekblad, you know, play at 19, but that might be a bit of a stretch as well.
Right, yeah, so he's got one more year left on his contract, so he's going to be playing in Sweden next year, assuming. But it's actually funny because Nicholas Bodin, the 27th pick, is actually older than Boqvist. So Bodin might be maybe further along in his development than Boqvist. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how this plays out. I think the biggest concern for me about Boqvist is he suffered two concussions last season, and I asked Stan Bowman about it and whether he's concerned about it, and he said nope, like it didn't even cross his mind. So we'll see. That's obviously it's unpredictable when you talk about head injuries, so I'm not sure how that – obviously the NHL is very physical. Hockey is a physical sport, so that would be my only concern. But I do see that there's major upside in this player.
So, the other thing about this is – you know, I'm watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, and I'm looking at big power forwards going hard to the net. And, yeah, I know the Hawks have won three cups in the past decade with relatively small defensemen. You know, Brent Seabrook isn't small, but, you know, the Hjalmarssons, the Keiths, and the Oduyas alike. These guys are both – now, look, Boqvist is only 17. He's 5'11". He certainly isn't done growing. He could end up being 6'1". He's around 170 right now. You know, in 2 years he could be around 190. So, you know, his numbers are going to change a little bit, but they are cut from the cloth of the thing I like about Boqvist and reading about him was just the speed factor. One of the best skaters in this entire draft. We all know that's where this league is. It's about speed. It's about scoring. And, you know, on paper at least, and from what we've seen on video, Boqvist seems to be that game-changing type of defenseman.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, the Blackhawks barely got any production from their blue line last year. So any sort of help, you know, obviously Boqvist isn't going to play right away next year. So he's going to need time to develop. But anytime you can add to your pipeline, especially defensively, with offensively skilled weapons, I think it's a plus. And I don't really mind the undersized defensemen. I know the Blackhawks have Ian Mitchell and Henry Jokiharju, and, you know, they're all under 6 feet. But to me, it's just all three of them are right-handed shots. And I know that shouldn't play a factor in who you're picking, but at the same time, I'm not sure there's room for all three of those, especially since you traded for Connor Murphy. You still got Brent Seabrook in the, you know, for the next however many years. So that's going to be interesting for me to see how they grow, because I feel like they all might be ready at the same time. So it's something to monitor.
Yeah, it's something to monitor. Stan said they are looking for the best, you know, player, in this case, best defenseman. They don't worry so much about lefty and righty, although it's, let's be honest, it's a very valid point. I caught up with both picks. Here's my conversation with Adam Boquist on Friday night. Adam, congratulations, first of all. What was the feeling like when you finally heard the commissioner call your name and you put this sweater on?
Yeah, unbelievable. I'm proud to be selected by Chicago, and I know pretty much of the city, and I was there last year for a week, so pretty good city.
You were in Chicago last year when your brother was selected. You know, when you take a look at the breakdown of your game, they say a puck-moving defenseman with a ton of skill. How would you describe your game?
Yeah, I like to have the puck and make a good play and join the rush so often than I can. But, you must read the play. Of course, I can improve my defensive play pretty much and be bigger and stronger. So, I'm looking forward.
Everybody talks about Erik Karlsson as, one of the premier defensemen in the league, of course, a Swedish defenseman. Would you say you model your game a bit after Erik?
Yeah, a little bit. I looking some videos before games and watch what I can do, and a little bit.
It didn't take long. I think the captain, Jonathan Toews, you had a phone conversation with him already. What did he have to say?
Yeah, he said he looked some videos about me, and he liked it, and that was big for me to talk to him. When I was young, looking up to him very much, and that was pretty cool.
You've got a lot to take in here in a short period of time. When you were at the Combine, you were asked when you thought you might be able to play in the NHL. You said 2 to 3 years. Might it even be sooner? I know you're only 17 years of age, but could you see yourself even sooner than that?
I hope I can play in the NHL so quickly I can. I need to be bigger and stronger and improve the most in my play, but if you play with good players, then it can help. They can help you.
Well, this sweater and the Stanley Cup have made its way back to Sweden several times in the last decade with some great Swedish defensemen. If you need some advice of what it's like to grow up in the city of Chicago, you can ask Nick Hjalmarsson, because I think he had a great run and won 3 cups.
Yeah, he played there for 10 years, so he knows the city pretty well. And I think he's a pretty good person too. And but I haven't seen in real life, but I don't know.
What was it like to go through this process with Rasmus Dahlin? I mean, is there some competition, friendly competition between the two of you?
No, he's a pretty good player, and I don't know. He's an unbelievable player, and I hope he can make a good play in NHL next year because he's really good.
Adam, congratulations, and we'll see you in Chicago later this week.
Thank you.
Back here on the Hawks Talk podcast, Charlie Romeliotis, Pat Boyle with you. We just heard from Adam Boquist. It was cool that the captain, Jonathan Toews, they already had the phone conversation, and they're going to be in Chicago later this week. It was cool that he was already in Chicago. He was at the draft last year when his brother was selected.
Yeah, which I didn't even know that until the interview happened. So, that's pretty cool, and I think the Jonathan Toews, I think last year it was Henry Okihara who got drafted, and it was Henry saying, I looked up, or I grew up watching Johnny and Patrick Kane. So I just thought it was interesting that it kind of came full circle here again in Dallas. So, it's a cool little nugget.
So then with the 27th pick overall, the second pick that the Hawks had in that first round, they take Nicholas Beaudin from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, who had 59 points in 58 games last year. He had, I think, 11 points in 10 playoff games. So, the offensive production certainly was there from him. What was your takeaway? He compared himself to Torrey Krug.
Yeah, I think it's another puck mover, and I think they're going to have 4 puck moving defensemen in their top prospects now in the pipeline in Rockford or wherever. So. Listen, I don't have a problem with it because I think I love my puck movers. I love, getting it up to the forwards or skating out of your own. The interesting part to me is you're infusing all these puck movers into the system. And Joel Quenneville likes his defensemen to be defensively responsible. So it might take a while because Boqvist is definitely a work in progress defensively. And I would say Bodine, that's probably not his strongest suit either. So that development is certainly going to be the biggest reason. That's the thing I'm looking for in their development, because they're very clearly both offensively skilled and they can create. So, it's something to monitor.
Here's my conversation with Nicholas Beaudin on Friday night. First of all, congratulations on that. You had a feeling that the Blackhawks were interested in you, right?
Yeah, I know they were interested in me, and my agent told me, like, late of the first round, start of the second round. But I knew the Blackhawks had a lot of interest in me, and I'm just so happy.
You talked a little bit about the opportunity to learn from a Duncan Keith. How would you describe your game?
You know, I'm a two-way defenseman. I can provide some offense. I'm a smart guy on the ice, smart IQ hockey. And I think if I can learn from a guy like Duncan Keith, it's just going to be good for me.
Is there an NHL player currently, a defenseman, that you pattern your game after?
I like Tory Krug. I think he's not the biggest guy, but he can skate well. He's smart on the ice. And I think if I can become like him, it's just going to be good for me.
Have you ever been to Chicago?
Never.
We'll look forward to seeing you there later this week.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to see the city and everyone there. So thank you.
Congratulations. Back here on the Hawks Talk podcast with Charlie Romeliotis, I am Pat Boyle. It's brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. So a year ago at about 10 or 11 a.m., right as the United Center was prepping for the 2017 NHL draft, the Hawks made two big trades. Panarin was dealt, they dealt Hjalmarsson, and we almost, the draft became almost secondary because of, you know, big names and quality players switching uniforms. We thought there was a possibility that the Blackhawks would be involved with some trades. Very, very quiet prior to this start of this NHL draft. Were you surprised that the Hawks weren't involved and didn't come through with a trade before we teed up this draft?
Going into it, I kind of expected there to be some sort of movement. I didn't think they would pick at 8 and 27. I thought it was unlikely for the Blackhawks to try to move up from 8, and I thought it was unlikely, too, that they would potentially try to package number 8 for, you know, an instant top 4 defenseman. I did find it interesting, though, that they did keep 27, because I thought that was when the Ryan Hartman deal got made, I thought that was going to be a pick that you can probably expend and maybe go out and get a pressing need and you know, have that player jump into the lineup right away. So in a way, I'm definitely not surprised they kept 8. I'm surprised they went Adam Boqvist with it. But I am surprised that they kept 27, because I feel like that range is a pick that might need a few years to develop. And it's very obvious that this next season it's win or else. So that pick is not going to have a lot of impact on the roster next season. So it'll be interesting to see.
We spoke to Stan Bowman a couple of times on Friday, and to Joel Quenneville. First time talking to Joel in a while. And look, with every time we have a conversation, and because of the vagueness of the description of where Corey Crawford is at, those guys are going to be asked almost on a daily basis of where is Crawford at in his recovery? Is he training normally? And I thought, like, with a goalie available today, that, you know, we might see the Hawks tip their hand of where exactly their comfortability is with Crow's return to action and his Vezina Trophy form that he was at last year before, you know, he went down with the concussion. But, you know, they didn't make a move, and both guys basically said, we haven't talked to him directly. We've talked to people around him. We like what we're hearing. And Q said that he expects Crawford to be in Chicago training shortly. I know we're going to see him for that Hawks convention.
Right, yeah. Philip Grubauer is the goaltender that got moved today, and he was kind of part of a salary dump, too, because Brooks Orpik was part of it. If the Blackhawks were to trade for a backup goaltender, that would be alarming to me, because they very clearly know something that obviously we don't.
They could, because of let's face it, they had four guys last year go through the backup process, and none of them really excelled. So you could see them go get a maybe a 1B, a guy that's a backup, but he is also a safety net for Corey if he's not ready to go. So, like, we could see them make a move, and they could table it like, no, Corey's coming back. This is really because we weren't happy with our current backups.
Right. And absolutely, I still think they are going to do that. But I don't, again, I don't think it's going to be as, like, if they traded for a goalie tonight in the first round, that would have been the biggest, you know, Crawford's not right. So right. I do think they're definitely still going to try to patch up that backup goaltending situation, you know, with a Carter Hutton or someone available on the free agent market, because there's no way they can go in next season with the goaltending tandem that they had last year. So, it'll be interesting. I'm not sure they'll be able to make any moves tomorrow. I think they'll try to move up, but I don't see any player type moves, like to get a backup goaltender or whatever, a defenseman, because they don't pick until the third round. They would have to move up, really.
We talked to both Stan and Joel about pending free agency, and look, this is the most money that the Hawks have had to spend right now, around $10 million. That could go up depending on what they're able to do with Hossa's contract, and it, you could see kind of a twinkle in Q's eye. He was kind of excited that, you know, they're going to be in that position, and that the rules have changed a little bit, that the courting process can begin, I think it's Sunday they can start talking.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it seem like the Blackhawks not making any moves today. It means that they're not going to make any moves, because I still feel like they can make that. Now that the draft is set after tomorrow or after Saturday, the draft is set, they can plan for free agency and be like, okay, well, this is how much money we have. If we trade Hossa's contract, we open up another $5 million. So I still think you have expendable pieces that you can trade and try to create more cap space or acquire different positional needs, and you said it, Joel Quenneville looked very excited that, you know, that especially with the free agent window, I think they have a 3-day window to a negotiating period, so they'll have cap space to work with. It's really about the term. You know, they don't want to try to sign these guys to more than 3 years, because they certainly want to extend Hinostroza and DeBrincat and Schmaltz down the line.
So, you know, when I talked to Stan 2 hours before the draft and I asked him of the guys that they have targeted that could be available at 8, he said at least a couple of them were NHL ready. Obviously, Beaudin and Boqvist are not NHL ready right now. So from this draft, they're not going to have a piece that is NHL ready. So now we turn to free agency and the trade market to reshape, you know, their roster. And that's really, you know, what we'll talk about that coming up tomorrow and in subsequent podcasts. But, you know, they're going to have to figure out a way. You know, you can't really expect a draft to produce somebody who's going to be injected in the lineup the following year and, you know, had this unbelievable role. I think that's a bit of a pipe dream. But for sure, with what happened on day one, you can't look to this draft for immediate help.
Right, absolutely. And credit to Stan and Mark Kelly when we had him on our podcast for the draft preview. They never wavered when we said, is there any temptation to try to grab a player that can step into the lineup or potentially step into the lineup right away or at least play this at some point this upcoming season? And they said, nope, that doesn't factor in their minds. And trust me, they know their seats are hot. So for them to draft Boqvist, who's probably the least ready of the defensemen that got taken in the top 12, I think it was telling that they didn't waver from their plan.
All right, so day two, Hawks have 6 picks from the third round to the seventh. They have 2 third rounds, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh. Nothing in the second round, but, you know, they went back to the hotel tonight. They're going to meet the hockey ops department. They're going to take a look at the players that have not been selected, and you know they're going to do their best to get somewhere into that second round, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think for sure that's possible, because the third round and beyond is not, I still feel like they can package those pieces and try to get a second. They want to get another guy, ideally a forward at this point. They want to get another forward or a defenseman, just another guy that's actually has some high-end ability in the pipeline that you can actually be excited about and not have to try to speed up their process. You know, just let him develop, and it, whenever he's ready, he can be like a bonus addition.
Well, look, they've had a lot of success in the second round, right? DeBrinket, second round. Hannah Stroza was later. Shaw was later. So they've had some success in the middle rounds or the second round on. So I would expect them to package possibly, you know, both of those thirds or the third and a fourth, say, to move into the back end of the second round and get somebody there and hold on to one of their third round picks, just if I was guessing.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think I think at this point you need to get this a solid player. Like, quantity doesn't matter anymore. You need quality players, and you need to go up and get them. And I, you know, you didn't want to try to have to use the 27 to move up from 8 to get that impact player because you got two quality ones. But I do think you got to try to find a way to get into the second round.
Follow Charlie Romeliotis on Twitter. He'll have the very latest here from Dallas on day two of the NHL draft. You can follow me as well. What is my Boyle NBCS is the new handle since we've made the change, and we'll have all the latest on what the Blackhawks do on day two coming up for you tomorrow. For Charlie Romeliotis, I'm Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.